Hey everybody, so glad that you're joining us for this morning devotion. Today's chapter is Revelation chapter 16. This is Revelation chapter 16. Let me start by reading this passage for us. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple telling the seven angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God." So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth. And harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the waters say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. It is what they deserve." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are demonic spirits, performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake such as there had never been since man was on the earth. So great was that earthquake. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And God remembered Babylon the Great, to make her drain the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. And every island fled away, and no mountains were to be found. And great hailstones, about 100 pounds each, fell from heaven on people. And they cursed God for the plague of the hail, because the plague was so severe. Well, that was an intense chapter, wasn't it? Painful sores, bodies of water turning to blood, darkness covering the land, 100-pound hailstones falling from the sky. What are we to make of all this? Well, to help us to understand what we're reading, we need to think back to what we've read so far in this letter. In earlier portions of the book of Revelation, we read about two different sequences of seven: the seven seals, which we read about in chapters 6 through 8, and also the seven trumpets, which were in chapters 8 through 11. Each of these led to their own fantastical descriptions of death, destruction, and culminated in peals of thunder, rumblings, and flashes of lightning. In our chapter today, we see another set of seven. This time, seven bowls. And you'll notice that it's actually very similar to what we have read with the scrolls and the trumpets. You've got seven bowls being poured out, leading to various plagues, all culminating with that seventh bowl that, when poured out, surprise, brings about flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, and a great earthquake. Is that coincidence? Most likely not. You see, each of these three sets of seven represent God's divine judgments. Now, there's some debate on whether or not the events brought about by the seals, trumpets, and bowls are meant to be taken literally and sequentially or not. There are those who argue that you should, that each of these things either has or will happen, and maybe that's true. But most agree that the strong parallels among the three sets of seven suggests a parallel relationship. As the folks over at the Bible Project say, it's more likely that each set of seven is describing the same thing, God's divine judgment, from a slightly different perspective. In other words, while God's judgment certainly could consist of these specific things happening, the point isn't to try to pinpoint exactly what will happen and when, but rather to recognize that God's judgment is coming, and it is a great judgment. We also know this in part because when you read about these plagues in chapter 16, you'll naturally think back to a different set of plagues from the Old Testament, the plagues that came upon Egypt just before the exodus of God's people. Sores, water turned to blood, darkness upon the land, great hail. We can see the similarities here, which again may suggest to us that it's not necessarily about the specific details, but about the coming wrath of God. Now, knowing this, what can we take away from this chapter? Well, for me, two things come to mind. The first is that we need to be ready. This has been a theme all throughout this letter. In the middle of the sixth bowl, while describing the scene of unclean spirits coming out of the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and this foreshadowing of a great and final battle, there's an interjection of sorts in verse 15. Here we actually read Jesus' words. And there, the ESV, the writers of the ESV, put it in parentheses, so it's really just feels like this interjection. But Jesus says here, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed." It's as if in the middle of all these great and daunting details about these plagues, Jesus interjects and reminds us, the readers, that these are not just events that will one day take place. Or, you know, we're not, the main purpose of this isn't for us to get caught up in all the details of when this might happen and this, that, or another, but rather that these are signs of the end. I'm reminded of what Jesus himself warned us during his earthly ministry. For example, in Matthew 24, Jesus tells of the signs of the age, the end of the age, and gives a lot of details, but he says ultimately the point here is to be ready because no one will know the day or the hour. And so again, verse 15 is a call to be ready, to stay awake, to keep your garments on, if you will, and to be ready for that time because no one will know when this will take place. One day, God will say, "It is done," as we see in this chapter. And when he says it, well, he means it. When he says it is done, it will truly be done. So as followers of Jesus, we must be ready. We must faithfully follow Jesus in his way at all times. Be faithfully committed to him. Now, our readiness isn't meant to look like hunkering down and just counting down the minutes. Sometimes we might think that way, that to be ready is just, okay, I need to prepare myself, you know, have good spiritual rhythms, live a holy, devout life, and that means I'm ready. But you see, as followers of Jesus, we're not meant to just go into metaphorical bomb shelters, just waiting for the end to come. Part of being ready is, yes, certainly living in holiness. Also, it also consists of actively sharing the good news with those around us. And that's the second thing I see in this passage. I'll readily admit that this isn't super explicit here, but let me explain what I mean. Three different times in this chapter, we read about how people did not repent, even in the midst of the plagues. After the fourth bowl in verse 9, the fifth bowl in verse 10 and 11, and the seventh and final bowl in verse 21. In each case, and you can go back and read it, despite their anguish, it says that the people, and that's referring to the people here who have been worshiping and following the beast, it says that they do not repent. They didn't turn to God. In fact, they cursed him. On one hand, John's account of people not repenting may simply be descriptive, meaning he might just be observing that they remained rebellious against God. But on the other hand, I can't help but wonder if John is implying that there's still an opportunity to repent and be saved. After all, if redemption and salvation were not possible, why mention that they didn't repent? It seems to me that there is an opportunity to turn from their ways. In which case, I think this is a reminder for us to not give up on sharing the good news. In fact, to be active in sharing the good news, the eternal gospel as it was described as in chapter 14. The tragic reality may be that even when we share, that there may be those who will not take up the opportunity to repent and be saved. I'm reminded of how Pharaoh only hardened his heart even after the plagues came and there were opportunities for him to turn from his ways. But so that might be something we might experience. And it's a sad reality. But it's also not something that we can know ahead of time, nor is it something for us to decide and control. And therefore, our part, our role, is to continue to make the good news known through our words and our actions and our conduct so that some, many, may be saved. So Symphony Church, let's be ready. Let's be ready both by personally readying and equipping ourselves, holding tightly to the way of Jesus and growing in Christ-likeness. And as part of that, be ready by faithfully proclaiming this good news to all. Let me pray to wrap up this time. Father, these images, these symbols, these things that we're reading about here are daunting. They're scary to think about. But Lord, as we've seen all throughout this letter, and as we see once again in this chapter, the call here for us as the reader is to be ready. To be ready, Lord, at all times, to stand firm in you. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to do just that. To take these words not as something just to scare us, but actually to lead us to you. Put our trust in you, to remain faithful to you. Father, if we have not been doing that in certain ways, maybe there are areas of our lives where we've kind of been doing things the way we want to do it. Forgive us for that. Help us to turn to you. And Lord, help us to also be a part of pointing others to you, God, encouraging people to turn from their ways and to follow you, Lord. And we know that there are many different ways to do this. And so Lord, give us the wisdom, the discernment, understanding to know how to best present the good news, the eternal good news to those around us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this time in your word today. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.